Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
I want to ask you, if you brought a Bible, to open to Acts chapter 20. And while you're turning, let me give you just a tiny bit of background. Remember, the Apostle Paul is at the end of his third missionary journey. It's now the spring of 57 A.D., and he's on his way to Jerusalem with an offering for the poor believers there that the churches of Greece have collected. And he's been moving down the western shore of Turkey on his way to Jerusalem. I'll show you a map. And you'll see that he's now gotten all the way down to Miletus here at the bottom. And as you can see, it's very close to the city of Ephesus, where Paul spent 3 years. He spent 3 years training and pouring into and mentoring the leaders of the church there. And so from Miletus, he summons the leaders of the church of Ephesus, and he shares this little speech with them, summing up what really made him the man of God that he was. Now, friends, if you're a follower of Christ here, and your number one goal in life is to be a true man of God, a true woman of God, a true servant of God, I believe this is the most life-defining sermon anywhere in the New Testament for you and me. So we've been working our way through it, and as I said, 2 weeks ago, we saw principle number one out of five, and that is the principle of obedience. Today, we're looking at principle number two, the principle of absolute surrender. So here we go, verse 22. And now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, Paul says, I am going to Jerusalem. Friends, Paul was utterly convinced it was God's will for him to go to Jerusalem. Nobody was talking him out of that. In fact, in Acts 21, when they're a little closer, Luke writes, while we were at Caesarea, a prophet named Agabus came from Jerusalem. He took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, in this way, the Jewish people of Jerusalem will tie up the man who owns this belt and deliver him over to the Gentiles, meaning Paul. When we heard this, Luke says, we began begging Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? He said, I am ready not only to be tied up, but I am ready to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since Paul would not be dissuaded, we gave up. And we said, well, the Lord's will be done. The point here, friends, is that for the Apostle Paul, in his mind, going to Jerusalem was not a matter of choice. It was a matter of duty. It was the will of God that God had called him to do. And the verse goes on, and now compelled by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit warns me in every city along the way that prison and hardships await me. Now, this is very intriguing to me, that not only did the Holy Spirit tell Paul what his duty was, and that is to go to Jerusalem, he also told him ahead of time what the consequences were going to be. He said, if you obey what I'm asking you to do, you're going to prison. You're going to have hardships. You say, yeah, why would God tell him that? Well, I believe by doing so, he created a platform, God did, so that we could see this attitude of absolute surrender that was so dominant in the life of the Apostle Paul. Look, verse 24. I want you to know, Paul says, that I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. My only concern is that I finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, friends, what exactly is Paul saying here? What he's saying is that I have made an absolute surrender commitment of my life to God and to the will of God. My number one concern, Paul says here, is not self-preservation. My number one concern is not what happens to me. My number one concern is doing my duty as a faithful soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't worry about what the consequences are. I only worry about what the duty is that God told me I need to do. This, then, is the second great principle that Paul points out to these leaders of the church of Ephesus. He says to them, fellas, if you want to be mighty servants of Jesus Christ, like I am, fellas, if you want to see God use your life in awesome ways, like he's used my life, the first non-negotiable is obedience, and the second non-negotiable is absolute surrender to God's will. Now, that's as far as we want to go in the passage today, because it's time to ask our question. You know our question. And so, are we ready? Y'all are all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Everybody ready? Down in overflow, y'all ready? Here we go, nice and loud. One, two, three.
So what?
Yeah. Say, Lon, say, so what? I mean, this is marginally interesting. But, I mean, what good is any of this to us? What do we care about that? Well, let's see if we can make that connection to your life. Andrew Murray, over 100 years ago, wrote a book entitled Absolute Surrender. Here's part of what he said, and I quote. He said, in Scotland once, as a young man, I was in the company of people who were talking about the condition of Christ's church. There was in our company an older, godly gentleman, and I asked him what he would say was the greatest need of the church and God's people. He replied very quietly and simply, absolute surrender to God is the one thing. Murray went on to write, these words struck me as never before, that the condition for obtaining God's full blessing is absolute surrender to Him. God is looking for those who will say, oh God, I accept your terms. Lord, anything for thee. If our hearts, Murray goes on to say, are willing to do this, there is no end to what God will do for us and the blessing he will bestow, end of quote. Now, I think it would be good for us to stop right here and let's define absolute surrender so that we're all sure we're talking about the same thing. The best definition I know of absolute surrender comes right out of the Bible, Romans chapter 12. Paul writes in verse 1 and says this, now I urge you, brothers, in light of God's mercy to you, to present yourselves as living sacrifices to God, which is your reasonable service. The imagery here in asking us to be living sacrifices, the imagery is that of the Old Testament sacrificial system. In the Old Testament, a person who wanted to worship God would bring an animal to the temple in Jerusalem. He would give that animal to the priest. The priest would sacrifice that animal. He would slaughter that animal, and he would burn the animal completely on the altar as a worship offering to God. Friends, how much of that animal did God want as an offering? Well, the answer is God wanted it all. And so in asking us as followers of Jesus Christ to be living sacrifices to God, what is God asking for? Well, he's asking for the same thing. He's asking for it all. He wants us to bring our whole self, all our mind, all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and lay it all on the altar. The whole shooting match. Lock, stock, and barrel, the whole nine yards, hook, line, and sinker, the whole enchilada, two all-beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, boom, is what he wants. He wants the whole thing, friends. And you know, the truth is, God is not interested in a limited partnership with you. No, no, no. God is only interested in a total takeover of your life. You know, there's an interesting passage in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 20. Here's what it says. Now, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered his army and attacked Ahab, the king of Israel. And Ben-Hadad sent messengers to Ahab and said, thus says Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, your silver and your gold are mine. Your most beautiful wives and your children are also mine. Then Ahab answered, it is as you say, my lord, I am yours. And all that I have is yours. Folks, this is absolute surrender. When we can look at Jesus Christ and say, Lord, it is as you say, I am yours, and everything I have is yours. That's absolute surrender. Absolute surrender means we tell God that we're going to go wherever God wants us to go. We're going to do whatever God wants us to do. We're going to act exactly like God wants us to act. We're going to say whatever God wants us to say. We're going to live like God wants us to live. We're going to forgive like God wants us to forgive. And we're going to do all of this as a matter of duty. We are not going to negotiate with God ahead of times what the consequences may be or may not be. We're just going to do our duty. This is absolute surrender. This is what Abraham did. When God called him to leave his homeland, he didn't negotiate the consequences. He just went. This is what Noah did when God asked him to build the ark. This is what David did when God asked him to go out and face Goliath. This is what Mary, the mother of Jesus, did when God asked her to be the conduit for the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. And if you look at every great man and woman of God who has ever lived in the Bible, since the Bible, you will find that they're all radically different in many respects, but there is one thing every one of them had in common, and that is every one of them had made an absolute surrender commitment to Jesus Christ. Every one of them had said, Lord, duty is ours, the consequences are yours, just tell us what you want us to do. Friends, this is what God wants from you and from me and from every other follower of Jesus Christ. If we want God to bless our lives the way he blessed the Apostle Paul's life, if we want God to use our life the way he used the Apostle Paul's life, if we want God to reward us in heaven the way he rewarded the Apostle Paul, then we must satisfy this condition of absolute surrender. There is no other way. Now you say, well, Lon, I think I understand what you're saying, but I got a couple questions. Can I ask you a couple questions about this? Well, sure. You say, all right, well, here's my first question. My first question is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, do I have to make this kind of absolute surrender commitment in order to keep my eternal life and in order to go to heaven? The answer is absolutely not. Friends, possessing eternal life is not the result of religious work or trying to be a good person or making an absolute surrender commitment. Possessing eternal life is the result of trusting what Jesus did for us on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for our sin, and that's it. The truth is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can live a very comfortable life and still go to heaven, and you never have to make an absolute surrender commitment. No, you don't. May I stop for just a moment, though, and say that if you're here today and you've never made this kind of commitment to Jesus Christ, this is really important information for you to have, to know that trying to keep the Ten Commandments is a wonderful thing, but that won't get you to heaven. To know that trying to be a good person, trying to do religious activity is nice, but that won't get you to heaven. The only thing that'll get you eternal life, a relationship with God and to heaven, is trusting what Jesus did for you on the cross, period. And if you haven't done that, man, Christmas is a great time to do it. I hope you will. You say, okay, Lon, I understand, but I got a second question. Here's my second question. And that is, you know, I've had some really bad experiences with this surrender thing. You know, I had a domineering father, and I had a dictatorial husband, and I had a boss that used this to abuse me, and I had a controlling mother. Hey, I understand that. I had a Jewish mother. And see, on the scale of 1 to 10, controlling mother's 5, Jewish mother is 9.5. I understand exactly what you're talking about. And you say, well, then you understand why in my life I've made the decision I'm never yielding control of my life to anybody else again, period. So why is this any different? Well, that's a good question. And let me tell you the answer. The answer is that it's different because of the character of the person that you're surrendering to. You see, this is Almighty God. This is not some boss or some father or mother who will use your surrender to feed their own ego and boost their own power trip and get their kicks from abusing you. No, no, no. This is the holy God of the universe who loves you so much that he gave his life for you on the cross. And all he wants to do with your surrender is use it to maximize your life and your service for Jesus Christ. God never abuses absolute surrender, ever. And so if you've been here and you've had a bad experience with surrendering to some person in the past, let me urge you, don't extrapolate that and lay that on Almighty God. This is a different being you're dealing with here. He will never abuse your surrender. You say, well, Lon, I got one more question. which is good, because I only got time for one more. And you say, well, I say, what is it? Okay, you say, well, hold on, here's my question. Paul made this absolute surrender commitment to Jesus, right? Yes, he did. And yet, Lon, look right here. Look what God did. God led him to prison, right? God led him into hardship, right? God led him into all kinds of other tough stuff, right? Yes, he did. So Lon, here's my question. If I make this kind of same commitment of absolute surrender, isn't it possible that God may lead me some places I don't want to go? That God may lead me into some things that I don't want to do? Friends, it's not only possible, it's likely. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 11, I've been beaten times without number. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Let me explain that. The Jewish people in the time of Paul used a handle with rawhide strips and pieces of bone and metal in the end to beat people's bare backs and rip the skin off. And according to the rabbis, you couldn't beat somebody 40 times with this thing. You'd kill them. So instead, they beat you 39 times with it. Paul said, 5 times that happened to me. Can you imagine what his back must have looked like? He goes on to say, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. The night and day I've spent in the deep. He said, I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and in exposure. You go, wait a minute. You're trying to convince us to make an absolute surrender commitment, right? I am. And yet you're standing there telling us about all the bad stuff that happened to Paul when he did it, right? I am. You say, well, Lon, do me a favor. Remind me never to hire you for a marketing position, all right? No, friends. Why? The reason I'm telling you this is because it's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You see, God doesn't promise when we give him absolute surrender that he's always going to lead us where we want to go. He never promises that. What God promises is that he's going to lead us where we need to go. Where we need to go in order to fulfill his plan and his purposes for our life. And that's why, and you must understand this, you must hear this, that's why people who make absolute surrender commitments, their reason for doing it is not to get an easy life. Their reason for doing it is not to get a cushy existence. Their reason for doing it is that they want God to use them to the fullest. They want God to wring out of their life every bit of glory for Jesus Christ that is possible. And if that means some hardship, if that means some pain, if that means some brokenness, then they're willing to pay that price. Absolute surrender is not for the faint of heart, folks. It's for people who are serious about their life counting for Jesus Christ, whatever the cost. You know, over 30 years ago, as a brand new follower of Christ, I read Andrew Murray's book, Absolute Surrender. And I remember as a 22-year-old young man saying, Lord, that's exactly the way I want it to be. I spent the first 22 years of my life partying and drinking and doing all this other stuff and doing drugs. And I did all that. And the only thing I've learned from all of that is that the only thing worth living for is for Jesus Christ. So absolute surrender, you got it, God. And then I went out and looked for a woman who had that same level of spiritual commitment and understanding, and God gave me a gem and my wife Brenda, and we'll be married 30 years next year. And we set out on life together 30 years ago and said, this is the way we're going to live, absolute surrender, duty is ours, consequences are God, and we'll just see what happens. But we want God to wring the glory out of our life. Well, we stood on a stage in 1992 over at Langley High School. The church was meeting there then. We stood on the stage with our little girl Jill, who was an infant, and we reaffirmed that commitment of absolute surrender, both for us and for her. We said as part of our child dedication, we will release this child to the will of God, whatever that might be, without bitterness or resistance. That was a statement of absolute surrender. Little did we know what lay ahead. 11 years later, we've had 4,000 or 5,000 grandmas. My little girl has. She has profound mental retardation. We had numerous nights in the hospital, switching with one another, sleeping in lounge chairs, letting the other person go home and sleep. We've had 911 come to our house so many times. We knew each other by first name. That's the truth. We've had unbelievable evenings where Jill has had seizure after seizure. We went years and never slept through the night. Literally years and never slept through the night because Jill was up every night having seizures. We've been depressed. We've been exhausted. We know what it's like to feel utterly hopeless. There were days we wondered if we'd ever laugh again. There were days we wondered if we'd ever be happy again. We watched as Jill's medical expenses completely decimated our finances. We tried so hard with our three boys not to let them suffer because of what Jill was going through and how consumed we were with taking care of her. But we know the frustration of just not having enough of us to go around, where no matter how hard you try, there's just not enough of you to give. And you're just completely wrung out. And you know, when we were going through that, we would pray and we would say, Lord, if this is where you feel you need to take us, and if this is where what you feel you need to do in our life, then we told you we were committed to absolute surrender. And we're going to go there. We're going to trust you. But God, this is so painful that at least promise us you're going to do something for the glory of Jesus with this. Make it worth it. If you do something for the glory of Jesus with it, it's all right. But you know what? I got to tell you, 11 years ago, I couldn't dream in my wildest what God was going to do with something like this. And I need to tell you, we're still on that journey today. I still wake up every day and pray that this is a bad dream and it's all going to be different. We have to reaffirm that commitment to absolute surrender every single day. But let me tell you what God's done in almost 12 years. He's given us a stronger marriage, Brenda and I, than we could have ever had without going through this together. He's given us a closer family and a stronger family than we could have ever had if we hadn't gone through this. And I'm here to tell you, God wants to use you. I'm here to tell you, God's got something great He wants to do through your life. But He can't do it unless you're willing to make this kind of absolute surrender commitment to Him, because He needs to take you places that you're not going to be willing to go if you're not absolutely surrendered. And He needs to do things in your life that you're not going to let Him do unless you're absolutely surrendered. And so let me conclude by simply saying, am I naive enough to think that everybody in this audience is going to walk out here and be absolutely surrendered to Jesus? No. I wish you would be. I'm not that naive. Because you see, as I said earlier, this isn't for the faint of heart. You make this commitment, it's going to cost you something. Could cost you a lot. But this commitment is for a special kind of follower of Christ. It's for a follower of Christ who desires the blessing of God more than they desire human ease and comfort. This kind of commitment is for a follower of Christ who values God using that person for His glory more than they value convenience and safety. And finally, this is for a follower of Christ who wants God's rewards in heaven more than he wants the applause of men down here. Now, if you're that kind of person, if that's where your heart is, this kind of commitment's for you. Because God will take this commitment. And whatever he decides he needs to do, I'm telling you, there will be a day you will turn around, just like I can do today, and say, Lord, you know what? I would never want to go through what you put me through. But in order to get where I am today, I'm glad you did it. It was worth it, Lord, because of what you're able to do in my life now you could never have done any other way. And I promise you, you make this commitment to God, and with the power of the Holy Spirit and His help, you back it up, and there'll be a day you'll say that too. Some of us here may even be going through that now. We made a commitment like this, and God has us right in the middle of the worst situation in our life, and we're thinking about deserting. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm telling you, if you'll let God do what He needs to do in your life, there'll come a day you'll thank Him for the pain. You will. And so let's bow our heads together, shall we? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you don't play the shell game with us in the Bible. I thank you that as followers of Christ, you tell us straight up what you want from us. You tell us straight up what it's going to cost. And you tell us straight up what the benefits are going to be. And then you let us choose whether we want that. Certainly that's the case with absolute surrender. And my prayer, Father, is that many people here today would decide that having Jesus wring all the glory for himself out of our lives that he can, that is so paramount in our value system, that whatever it costs, we're willing to pay it. That's what absolute surrender is all about. For those people who've made that commitment to you in these quiet moments, Lord, reassure them in their hearts that you're excited because you're going to take their lives now that you have the freedom to do it, and you're going to take them places they never dreamed and fulfill your plan and purpose for creating them. They've set you free to be able to do that. Father, change our lives because we were here today, and make us as a band of believers who are willing to live absolute surrender. Make us a mighty force in this city and help us reach this city for Jesus one life at a time for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, LonSolomonMinistries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?